He had them having a sword in one hand while dropping that mortar, putting the stone on with the other hand. Like, I have no idea, like, how you over here just like, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. I can put this little thing down, I'm gonna keep this sword in my hand, grab this stone. Like, they were about a great work. They were so diligent. They were so persistent. They were just so focused to get the work done. This is really a great example of how we need to be in our businesses, in our finances. We need to be diligent. We need to be about a great work and not come down. Hey girl, can you come to this party? Or you want to go ahead and get lunch with me? You paying? Because if not, I can't go right now. Like, I'm on a spending freeze. Oh, hey, so-and-so, such-and-such. You know, everybody not having a birthday party. It's like 30 birthday parties in a month. I ain't got money to get everybody a gift right now. We gotta cut it down to the minimum for the time being. Like, I'll be back. I'll be able to play rich auntie or uncle later. But right now, I'm about a great work, building up a strong foundation for my family. You know, it's going to be a season of, no, I can't catch this trip. I can't catch that wave because I have to be about my father's business. I have to be about a great work right now.
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, as stated in Proverbs 13:22. This podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
Hello, hello. Welcome to 1322 Life. I'm your host, Bree Smith, CPA, and I'm so happy to be with you guys today. I'm so excited. This is actually our last live for a while. And the reason being is just because I want to make sure that we have more polished content coming to you, as well as being able to get it out to more people. We are on our way to 1,000 subscribers. If you have not yet, hit the like and subscribe button below. It costs you $0.00, so why haven't you done it yet? Please like and subscribe so that we can get this content out to more people. Once we hit 1,000, YouTube will allow us to show up on more people's feed just organically. And so our goal is just to be able to bless as many people as we can, to be able to build wealth God's way, as well as just honestly just spreading the gospel too. While we're talking about building wealth God's way, because we're in God's word, we are doing a great work in spreading the gospel. So please, please, please like and subscribe. I want to touch as many souls as possible for God's kingdom. All right. Other than that, say hello. Tell me where you're from. We will be live again later on. I don't know when, but maybe some months. But I'm excited. We have content coming for you guys. We have mapped out what we're going to be talking about for like the next year. So we have content through 2026 on what the podcast is going to be about. We will be looking for guests to come on to help us talk about our topics. So look forward to that. If you're on our email list, you will get the first opportunity to be a guest. So please feel free to, if you're not yet, get on our email list. I don't know what you're waiting on. But, you know, we're looking for other kingdom entrepreneurs, kingdom parents, wealthy parents, or those that are trying to become wealthy parents to join us, so that we are able to we send out our weekly wealth strategist report every single week to help you with the tools and tips you need to know to save money, whether it's saving money on your taxes with the proper tax strategies for you, or if it's just to be able to help you to be able to budget better and do better in your personal finances as well. So if you have not, go to our website, bdsmithfinancial.com. Sign up now. All right, now that that's out of the way, let's get into it. Today, we are talking about being about a good work, okay? So, I was asking God, what should I talk about today? And in honor of my son, my wonderful gift from God, my rainbow baby, Nehemiah, his birthday was Sunday. We're going to be coming from Nehemiah today. I was thinking about Nehemiah, and there's a reason why I named my son after him. Nehemiah was a man about a great work, okay? He was saddened with what he saw happening in Jerusalem. He wanted to rebuild the wall for his people. He wanted to, you know, fortify God's city again. He was just an amazing man that was about his father's business, right? And so because of that, he refused to come down from doing a great work. He was not easily moved. He was not easily shaken. He was very strong. He was disciplined. And he just had this amazing just will about him. And I was like, that is what I want for my son. I want my son to be about a great work. Ain't got no time for the foolishness. Have discernment to be able to say, get away from me, Satan. I want him to be a man after God's own heart, to be able to have a heart to serve God the way that Nehemiah did. I want him to be a hardworking man that's able to get something done in a matter of weeks or days that it would take others years to do. I want him to be able to just be like, Nehemiah was a bad behind, right? Because I can't say what I wanted to say, but he was a bad shut your mouth, right? So he was building the wall with one hand while he had his sword in the other. Okay. Talk about having a weapon in one hand ready for war if need be, while also doing major construction. What? Can't talk to me. So I want to talk about Nehemiah. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but the part that I am going to read, because I just gave y'all the synopsis, right? So y'all are supposed to be in your own Bibles and reading. But this is about the opposition that he faced. Because when you're climbing higher, as you start to do better in your finances, as you start to put the right safeguards around you, as you put the right systems and processes in place to automate different things, as you start to be about a good work, your father's work, to be a good steward over what he has already trusted you with, right? There are going to be people that come up to oppose you. There are going to be people you love, people you like, people you don't even know that may be trying to oppose you. Sometimes the person opposing you is that ad you just saw on your phone, right? These phones always listening. And it's the ad for what you want. You know you want it, but you have no business getting it right now because you're in a season of building, not spending, right? Sometimes the thing that is trying to come up against you is someone that is actually, you know, you love and hold near to you, but they're jealous of you for elevating. It happens. It's unfortunate, but it happens. It could be a friend. A lot of times, you know, but it can't even be your own family, your own flesh and blood. So these are things that may come up against you. There are, you as you get closer with Christ, you lose friendships and relationships. People are going to look at you different, think that you're weird. They talked about Jesus. They're going to talk about you. You know, there's different things that just come up against you as you continue to elevate and go to the next level. And that's what I want to talk about today, because sometimes you are dealing with opposition when you're about a great work. Sometimes, you know, things that you never saw coming your way, people that you never thought would turn on you, do you dirty, just straight grimy when you're about a great work. It just happens. And so I want us to talk about that today. And in honor of my baby Nehemiah, I want it to come from the book of Nehemiah. And so I'm in chapter 6. And I mean, this whole thing is just so good. I mean, like, this whole book of Nehemiah is so good. So, so, so good. Read it in your free time. I tell y'all, reading the Bible has, like, literally change the game for me. It is better than any Netflix. And then you start seeing how a lot of the movies and TV shows out here actually, like, how they are pulling certain things from the Bible. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Read your Bible. It's juicy. I listen to my Bible on Audible, and it actually, I'll put the link in the comment section later, but there's this book. I've been telling everyone about it. I've been telling networking friends about it. I've been telling my team about it, everything, but it's by actors. It's like over 400 different actors and actresses that are just acting out the Bible. Like, so you hear like birds chirping when it says how, you know, God was creating the different animals, or the bird came out after Noah's Ark and stuff like that, you'll hear like the different tones and voices and the inflection of like when there may be sarcasm or not. You know, it's their take on the tone, of course, but it makes it make a whole lot more sense. And just makes it come to life. It really brings the Bible to life for me. So a church member had recommended it to me, and I've been listening to it this year. As you know, I'm getting through the entire Bible this year. I will read this entire thing. I am still in 2 Kings or 1 Kings, one of those. I'm in the Kings. So, but I will be in a great work. I've read the whole book of Nehemiah, but I will read it again this year. So, yes. So if you want to join me on that journey, listening to the Bible, it's so, so good. All right. So here in Nehemiah 6, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now the report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You're just making it up and out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Okay. I'm going to just stop right there. Like I said, y'all got to read this yourself. It's so, so, so good. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they were the op. They were all against Nehemiah rebuilding that wall, to the point where they were trying to distract him and make him come down, saying they just wanted to have a little chat. Okay. I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I don't know how you want to tell this story. When I was a kid, I was sometimes in trouble, sometimes in a lot of fights. And one day somebody came to knock on my door and they was like, oh, can you come outside? Da, da, da. Me and the girl weren't cool, but as far as I knew, we were enemies. And my mom was like, she is not your friend. She is not being friendly. And my mom had the discernment to know that girl apparently wanted to fight me over something that she had no idea about. So I walked out on the porch to talk to her. Me being me, I didn't care. like I said, I was in a lot of fights, so I wasn't really scared of much of anybody. But I came outside and I spoke to her, whatever. But my mom was, you know, definitely like watching from the kitchen window and stuff. And then I came back in. However, my mother had that discernment, so that kind of let me know, don't go anywhere with her. Don't spend too much time with her. Distance myself from her. And then I found out later on, yeah, she's trying to fight you because of such and such and such and such. And I'm like, what? That ain't even like, what are you talking about? Sometimes people will be against you just because, like, she didn't even have a valid reason. She had no valid reason. She didn't know what was going on. However, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they didn't have a good reason either. Sometimes people want to oppose you. They want to hurt you. They want to harm you for no good reason at all. And it can blindside you because it's like, I'm just over here doing something great, like Nehemiah was. I'm just over here trying to rebuild God's city. This is the city that his temple was built in. This is the city that he has said is, you know, where it will flow like milk and honey and, you know, just be able to supply all the needs of his people. This is the city that he had said that he was going to bless the Jews. And so he just wanted to rebuild the city. He was about a great work. He was doing a good work for God. But when you're doing a great work, sometimes people will oppose you for no good reason. They didn't want him to complete this work. They then, when they could not get him to come down, they thought they would scare him by sending him this rumor that it's like, oh, you're trying to overthrow the king. So it's like, oh, you're about to be, you know, put to death or imprisoned once this word gets to the real king, because you're trying to become king. And he's like, that ain't going on. You're making this all up in your head. And I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm gonna keep putting up the wall and these gates so that I can fortify the city. I can make it so that no one can get in that's not supposed to, so that people are not able to attack. And also, now this part, I do not remember verbatim because I've taught on Nehemiah before, but I believe he was able to get these walls rebuilt around Jerusalem in like 60 days or something, or 60 days or less. And it should have took way longer. It should have took months, years, but instead this man was able to get it complete. Like, or no, did it say 3 weeks? I'm trying to remember, guys, but it was so quick. 52 days, y'all. 52 days. Okay. Because I hate misquoting scripture. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall in 52 days. That is insane. It took him less than 2 months to do something that should have taken a long time. I mean, y'all see people trying to construct stuff. Now, sometimes these houses be going up fast, but that's just like wood, whatever. This is brick mason work. This is laying stone. Like, he was building a strong wall, and he did it while him and his men, he had them having a sword in one hand while dropping that mortar, putting the stone on with the other hand. Like, I have no idea, like, how you over here just like, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I can put this little thing down. I'm going to keep this sword in my hand, grab this stone. Like, they were about a great work. They were so diligent. They were so persistent. They were just so focused to get the work done. And so this is really a great example of how we need to be in our businesses, in our finances. We need to be diligent. We need to be about a great work and not come down. Hey girl, can you come to this party? Or you want to go ahead and get lunch with me? You paying? Because if not, I can't go right now. Like, I'm on a spending freeze. Oh, hey, so-and-so, such and such. You know, everybody not having a birthday party. It's like 30 birthday parties in a month. I ain't got money to get everybody a gift right now. We gotta cut it down to the minimum for the time being. Like, I'll be back. I'll be able to play rich auntie and uncle later. But right now, I'm about a great work, building up a strong foundation for my family. You know, it's going to be a season of, no, I can't catch this trip. I can't catch that wave because I have to be about my father's business. I have to be about a great work right now. Do you understand? So we have to be in a position where we're saying, I'm about a great work and I cannot come down. I'm not entertaining you. We have to be in tune with our Heavenly Father to have discernment to know they're trying to harm me. He just knew it. He like, something fishy. You don't want to talk to me. You're not my friend. It's time for me to continue doing what I'm doing. This is a distraction. No, thank you. Get away from me, Satan. And he take time. He like, oh, y'all gonna keep sending me the same message? I'm gonna keep sending you the same message. I ain't got time. It's just like telling the messenger, say the same thing I said last time. Oh, well, sir, they came back and said this again. Say the same thing I said the last time. Like, you know, it's like, oh, now they're getting creative on the fifth try. This man had two sentences for them. Okay. Nehemiah was not playing with them. He was not playing. So it's just about, and then he prayed at the end. He's like, oh, you think that you're going to stop a great work? Don't grow weary in well-doing. He said, you think you're going to make me grow weary? You think you're going to get me worried and anxious? You think you're going to scare me away from doing it, from completing what I've started? I'm 90% of the way done. All I got to do is put the doors up. Nah, you think this ain't going to get done. He prayed for God to strengthen his hands, and he was able to get that job done in 52 days. He completed the rebuild and got them doors up within 52 days with his team. You know, that is just amazing. That is phenomenal. There are so many lessons in here in the book of Nehemiah, such as not telling people what you're about to do before you do it. When Nehemiah came there, the only person that knew what he was about to do was on a need-to-know basis. He told the person that he was serving, he was the cupbearer, he told that king or whatever from where he was at, hey, you know, the king saw him sad and was like, what's going on? And he's just like, the walls are torn down in Jerusalem. You know, like, I'm, like, he was just really mourned at what had happened to God's city. And so he asked, he's like, can I just go rebuild? And can you also give me provision? Can you give me a letter so that I can go get wood and the materials I need to rebuild it and just let me go to do that? Like, give me leave and provision. This man left work to go work. You feel me? He was just so disciplined in that way. It was so beautiful. And he didn't tell people until after he'd scoped out what he needed to. And then he came and let them know, this is what we need to do. Are you willing to help me? He gathered the people he needed. You know, it was just so beautiful. There's so many lessons in this book. But I want you to be about a good work. Don't tell people stuff before they need to. Have discernment. Nehemiah was a praying man that allowed him to have discernment. He knew something in his spirit went right. Like, he didn't even have to pray about that because he probably already had an unction in his spirit. It doesn't say this, but this is my take. He had an unction in his spirit. I don't know. Do y'all ever get that? Sometimes where it's like somebody says something to you or brings something to you, and you're like, this just don't seem right. Okay? Like, I had got this letter in the mail. And it was from a dealership that shall not be named. And they had said, oh, you know, basically there were all these different prizes you could have won. The best prize was to win a car, a brand new car. The worst prize was to get a bunch of like some headphones or whatever, you know, some fake AirPods. And then it said for me that I had won $2,000. And it showed me. I went ahead and scratched off, saw my code, and my code matched the code to win the $2,000. So I called. I said, hey, it's saying that I have, you know, won $2,000. They confirmed my code or whatever. They told me I won it. I said, okay, well, do I have to buy a car in order to redeem this? I had to call back because first lady was rude. Second lady I talked to, she said, no, you don't have to buy a car in order to redeem this. It's yours. If you won the $2,000, you won the $2,000. Nothing else necessary. So I said, hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like, okay, I've called. I've confirmed. I couldn't get anyone at the dealership at the time. I guess their phones were ringing off the hook. So I finally went there because for $2,000, I'll drive 15 to 20 minutes to see you and get my check. And when I get there, they then take me behind a wall, show me a poster and say, oh, does your other number match this number? Looks like you get the free AirPods. Excuse me. Now I scratched this thing off. It said I won $2,000. Now you mean to tell me all I'm getting is some funky fake AirPods, some AirPod knockoffs. I don't even use Apple. But the fact that you're trying to give me a knockoff AirPod, like these little cheapy cheap things, it's like 10 bucks. No, thank you. Since I was already there, I took them. Gave them to my husband, my kid, whoever, like, here, y'all. But it was just like, y'all are wasting my time for nothing. And I already knew, like, I wasn't even excited. My kids are actually the ones that scratched it off because I usually throw stuff like that right in recycle. And they scratched it off and they was like, Mommy, you won $2,000. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, and they like, you know, why you not excited? I'm like, so after I called to verify, and then apparently they lied. Now, I could have said, you know, this is false advertising, samo, but whatever. It wasn't worth my time. The point is, sometimes your spirit just knows. Sometimes you just get an unction. Now, I'm using something petty, but, you know, there's an unction in your spirit where you know something's not right. Whether it's, you know, for mothers, if our child coughs the wrong way, we know this is more than a cold. You know, for, you know, and that can be for parents that are just in tune with their kids. My husband catches so much when things are off with our kids as well. So no dig at dads. Dads know what they're doing too. So like, but there's certain things where you can just feel in your spirit, this ain't right. Something's off here. And so I want you to be able to trust that discernment. But the only way is because you have to be in alignment with Christ. You have to be constantly praying. You have to be constantly in your word, in your Bible, to be able to know the voice of God, to clearly hear him and know when this is an unction from the Holy Spirit, when you need to dig deeper, when you need to verify. And sometimes you verify and you need to be able to know they still full of it. And I thought they were still full of it, but I said, I will go drive to check it out just in case. Right. And so it's about being about a good work. Someone else that was about a good work was Jesus. I could not go with that talk about being about a good work without bringing up Jesus, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, right? Because we allow him to also tell us what to do. We accept that he died on the cross for us, but now because of that sacrifice, we obey him and we let him lead our lives. So he's Lord and Savior, right? So I don't know if most people, this is like a running joke, but basically Jesus had a disappearing act like Houdini. And it's because he was 12. They went to the temple to worship. And when Mary and Joseph and all his family left, Jesus stayed. So, you know, after a day or two of travel back, they realized, oh, he's not with me. He's not with these folks. He's not with this group. Like, where's Jesus? Anybody seen Jesus? So they turn around, you know, and go back to the temple and they see him in there. He's teaching and he's asking a ton of questions and so when they get there, let me go here. So it's Luke 2 and we can read 41 through 51. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So he wasn't teaching. He was amongst the teachers. And he was asking a ton of questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So I guess he was answering some too. So that's why I thought he was teaching. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Like, and in one version it says, like, "Woman, why are you worried? Like, or why are you searching for me? Don't you know I'm about my father's business?" Like, boy, what? This is when Jesus had this disappearing act. Now, it says that she treasured all these things in her heart. And boy, do I love my Nehemiah. I love my Nehemiah so much. But if he ever, you know, it's just one of those moments where it's like, who you think you're talking to? Like, and so then we didn't hear about Jesus again until he was about 30. So for 18 years, that man disappeared. Saying some, "Don't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Or, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Like, excuse you, you're 12. So it's hilarious, but at the same time, he was about a good work. Jesus, of course, I mean, he's God and man at the same time. He knows where he needs to be. He needed to be in the presence of God. He needed to be being in the word. He needed to edify his spirit. He needed to just be in the word and, you know, amongst those in the word and having biblical conversations. That's why it's so important to have community and not to always just be like, "It's just me and God." No, he gave you community for a reason, because it edifies your spirit to be around other believers, being able to ask each other questions and answer them and get a deeper understanding for the word of God. And so it's just about being diligent in the things that you're supposed to do. Now, we don't want to hit disappearing acts for 18 years. But so if you're 12, listen to your parents and do what they said to do, okay? Honor your mother and father so that your days may be long. But also, we need to make sure that we are about a great work, being diligent, being where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, and not coming down by the distractions of life. Don't stop what you're doing because the kids are acting up in school. Don't stop what you're doing because the house is now a mess. Don't stop what you're doing because schedules are getting out of whack. You will get them back in line. Don't stop the great work that you're doing. Even though some people don't want to be your friend no more. Don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop. Everyone's not going to like it. Everyone's not cheering for you. Everyone's not rooting for you. It's unfortunate, but don't you dare stop a great work. Be about a great work like Jesus. It's going to pay off in Nehemiah. Because y'all know it's an honor of my son, Nehemiah. As I said before, like and subscribe. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers so that we can reach more people. And we will be back next week. You will continue to get these episodes weekly. We just will not be live. This is our last live for a long time because we want to be able to increase our reach. And we think that this will be a great way to do so by having them pre-recorded. And it allows us to really plan and dive deeper into the word. So I'm excited about it. Guest speakers are coming. If you want to be a guest speaker, please let us know. There is a form that you'll be able to fill out on 1322life.com. We have had some website issues, but please try again, 1322life.com. That's 1322life.com to be able to apply to be a speaker. We will have to vet you to make sure that what you have to bring to the table will be great for our people, for the audience that God is going to be blessing us with. I'm about doing everything with a spirit of excellence. Also, we will be talking about faith like a child next month, and I may get started as early as next week. We'll see. So if you want to talk to us about faith and how to have faith like a child, and because you know without faith it's impossible to please God, please let us know. We will be having one guest on next month to help us talk about faith. So thank you. It's been so great to have you here. Let's pray us out before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just have this time together with you today. Thank you for allowing us to really just dive into your word together, talk about being about a great work. Help us to be able to have the skills and tools we need, the characteristics we need on the inside of us, Father God, so that we can honor and be a great steward over the wealth that you want to provide us with. Oh, Father God, bless our hands, dear Lord, so that we will, everything that we do will be blessed. Everything we touch will be blessed. Our children are blessed. Our homes are blessed. Our bank accounts are blessed. Our businesses are blessed. Our families are blessed. Yes, Lord, they are covered and protected by the blood of Jesus. Keep a hedge of protection around your children, Father God. And I just ask for you to be here with us. We thank you, Father God, for just being God. We thank you for covering us like only you can. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to be about a great work with you. So we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have the most amazing week, and I will see you next week. It won't be live, but I will see you next week. All right. Bye.